I asked ChatGPT what Supply Chain 2050 will look like. It came back with, resistance is futile. Not sure how to exactly take that. Let's get to it. Welcome, welcome, welcome! Another great episode of IBF On Demand. I'm your still human, though not always grounded in reality host, Eric Wilson. You can find me at eric@ibf.org. That is eric@ibf.org. Thanks for the follows, the subscribes, the randomly coming up to me and saying hello, whatever it may be. You can find me on LinkedIn, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Downloaded these here. Check out all the past ones we've done as well. And in those past ones, you're also going to find a sponsor, a great sponsor that we have as well today, Arkiva, driving business transformation by solving what others cannot. Brand new platform that came out besides their legacy. They actually have a new product available for companies that are smaller in size, looking to improve their end-to-end supply chain. They got a great new product for you. Check them out at Arkiva. Real quick, before we get started, I want to start with a quick story. I was at an airport, sitting down, and a guy comes up to me, and the first words out of his mouth was, "Are you that YouTuber?" I have to admit, I am at the pinnacle of my career now, having some random person come up to me and ask if I'm that YouTuber. Now, the funnier part of this story, I think for me at least, was sitting there, the people around me with no other context to what the first thing this guy said, they were looking at me going, should we know this person? So it was actually quite funny. So Coachella or VidCon, here I come. Now, honestly, I mean, I was recently at Gartner, and I think I've met the 12 people who watch this. I think I've met all of you there. So I just wanted to take a second, and I said sidebar here. It was great to meet that guy in the airport, but it was also great to meet everybody else that's come up to me, emailed me, commented, and said that they're watching these videos, they're getting something out of them. That means a lot to me as well. So thank you for, you know, being there and continuing to watch these. One of the things I kept hearing at Gartner, hearing at these other conferences I'm going to, a lot of questions I'm getting, people keep talking about AI, AI, AI. So I thought, hey, why don't I address it? So today, we're going to talk about AI, mediocrity, and ham. Somehow, everything ends up going back to food for me. I get it. But those are what we're going to talk about today. This 2023, when I'm recording this, this is the year of AI. So it's been, you know, called. I mean, no doubt that it is having an impact, even though nobody can really explain or define what that is. And for a lot of people, it's just, you know, ML, machine learning, and other types of rules-based type of algorithms that's doing things. But there is a fundamental change that we're consuming data, processing data, what we're doing with it, and results that we're getting. I mean, Starbucks, they have their digital flywheel they've had for a few years. I actually had a podcast where I brought someone on. We talked about that digital flywheel and the micro-targeting that they're able to do with consumer data and their AI processing. Volvo Mobility, they have an infinite clustering algorithms that optimizes car sharing. I talk about in my books, Predictive Analytics for Business Forecasting. It talks about that infinite cluster algorithm, what Volvo Mobility has been doing, I said, for a few years as well. Speedy Hire, they're actually using AI to help predict seasonal patterns, and they're using clustering their items more differently and looking at different types of seasonal patterns. Coke, they've innovated a lot of new products based on consumer inputs. Those kiosks that you see that you can do multiple different types of drink combinations, that's data they're collecting. Cherry Sprite was a creation out of those kiosks. That's you are the ones who invented that. But they utilize that data for a lot of other things as well. So we can definitely see there's a lot of uses for data, a lot of uses for new technologies being implemented in companies today. I mean, absolutely, it will automate, you know, routine tasks. It will be able to do that. It understands probabilities better than we do. And it can do a lot more computations. It can access a lot more information a lot faster. There's no doubt it is impacting businesses, and it will impact your job. But it may not be all good, though, as well. When employees are not challenged or stimulated, they are less likely to be curious and innovate. It's proven. And more likely to become complacent and uninspired. Providing quick and easy answers to a problem, this may seem like a benefit. It can also discourage people from exploring new ideas and approaches. It breeds mediocrity. I mean, how many people out there can actually lead a map? We don't need to anymore. We're losing skills, but this is going to breed mediocrity. At least it has the opportunity to. That's where I wanted to tell you about my grandma's ham. I said it all goes back to food sooner or later. Why did my grandma cut the ends off her ham? You may have heard of this story before. I mean, I grew up in Appalachia area, and we love tall tales, and this is one of the stories that's been passed down about grandma's ham and cutting off the ends. It all started when we were cooking a nice Easter dinner and making the ham, and daughter is watching mama make the ham, and she cuts off the end of the ham, about an inch or 2 inches of the ham, and she puts it in the pan, and she cooks it. And the daughter asked, "Mom, why? Why did you cut off the end of that ham?" And she says, "Well," I said, "that was the recipe that I have, and that's the way my mom and your grandma did it. So we're going to have to ask her." So they went to grandma, and they went to grandma and said, "Grandma, you know, why are you cutting off is this part of the recipe of cutting off about an inch or 2 inches of the ham?" And she says, "Well, that recipe has been passed down through generations, and that's the way my grandma, your great-grandma, had done it." And pretty soon, when you went back, when you finally asked the great-grandma, you know, "Great-grandma, why exactly is this part of the recipe?" She said, "Well, my pan was only 9 inches and the ham was 10 inches. So I had to cut off an inch of that ham. But guess what? Now we're not using that 9-inch pan anymore. There's no longer a need. But because this is the way it's always been done, and when you research it or ask how it's done, that's the answer it gives you, is how it should be done." AI content can and be possibly the same type of results. AI content, absolutely, it's informative. It's well written. And most of the time, it will give you an answer. But it may lack sufficient depth or perspectives to what you are dealing with today. It looks back at the way things are doing, gives you the probabilities of this is the majority of the time the way things are done. AI cannot generate fundamentally new ideas on its own. It cannot support all the activities that lead to new ideas, such as interactive exchanges and discussing ideas with others, or unwinding and reflecting, or understanding new inputs that haven't been fed into the model yet. That are some of the limitations of what AI at least has today. AI systems are only as good as the data they are trained on. You can only make that ham based on that recipe as good as your mama, your grandma, and your great-grandma did. But there may be some limitations on what resources you have available today. One of the things I looked at, kind of an example of this, is S&OP. And if you listen to any of my podcasts, I will tell you what S&OP is. And S&OP is a lot more than just a supply chain process. It's more than, you know, just a demand planning process. It's really a business process, that collaboration across multiple functions of an organization. Early on, I asked ChatGPT, you know, what is a basic definition of what S&OP is? And it says S&OP is to balance supply and demand. Technically, that is a correct answer. That is an answer. And if you put it into a paragraph, it would elaborate that and be very well written and informative. The problem is, it only told you part of the answer. It didn't tell you what mature S&OPs are, what the ones that are doing things above and beyond what the majority of the companies out there do, and what those top vanguards of S&OP are doing, they're looking at it as a comprehensive business process that aligns all functional areas, unified set of assumption to enable coordinated decision making. That part wasn't in the definition. It is a lot more than just balancing supply and demand. I grant you, 51% of the companies out there that are emerging or essential, that is their definition. So that's the response that it's going to give you. That's just a little example. Now, I understand it will continue to adapt. It will continue to get better. But what I'm trying to kind of stress to you is that just relying on AI alone, just relying on the outputs of a system alone, all it does is breed mediocrity. A lot of times, I mean, kind of another analogy or example of this is, I mean, we're putting the ChatGPT before the horse is what we're doing. When you're looking at the technology part, yes, that's an important aspect, but it's people. You got to have the right people asking the right questions, knowing what they're doing. You got to have the right processes in place to be able to utilize and integrate the technology. You got to have the right data, understanding the data and what inputs you need and have. And then after people, process, data, then comes the technology and analytics. Then comes the AI. It will help you identify patterns. It will provide a bigger picture. It will analyze more options. And it can actually guide experimentation or innovation. It can help guide and create new things as well, used properly. Let me use one more example, because I think this story kind of highlights how we can use AI and how it's being used as well. Kind of looks at AI as an enabler and augmenting what you currently do. Actually, I was using AI, and I'm using AI to help write an article. Researching for the article and understanding, using AI, unmatched as far as the information it could give me, citations, articles that it recommended that I look into. I mean, unmatched when it comes to the research capabilities using AI. Full disclosure, I utilized ChatGPT and Quillbot.ai right about 40%, and editing. So about 40% of the project was done entirely by AI. The ideas, though, for what was going to be written about, the ideas, the concept, the kind of what the story was, that was 100% me. The theme, the message, what I wanted to relay, how it was related, kind of that outline, 100% me. But I incorporated ChatGPT to research and write into what I wanted it to write about and fit the message 100%. And it was exactly what I wanted in the end. What I'm saying is I utilized it to augment what I could do to save me time, to find new information I wouldn't have access to any other way. And it was able to make a better product in the end. But it couldn't have done it without my prompts, without my ideas, without me interpreting and really tweaking the outcomes of it. All those things worked together for the final product. The same with you. I mean, it's a tool. It's not going away. Absolutely use it. But it is that. It is a tool. And that's where we're going to find ourselves going forward. This is another tool we need to understand and we need to start using. Actually, I'm going to have more on this coming up in a podcast in probably about a month or so. Unfortunately, today was supposed to be a special guest from Microsoft, and we were going to talk more about this. Now, unfortunately, you just get 20, 25 minutes of me talking. But she is coming back. She was under the weather today, so she couldn't make it. But I will be doing a podcast with her in about a month. So make sure, subscribe if you're already subscribed and you want to hear more about this topic. I have a lady from Microsoft that's going to be talking more about that. But right now, what I wanted to kind of convey is where you need to be. Is AI taking over? Here's the answer. Absolutely. Be scared. AI is taking over everything. No, the reality is AI is going to augment a lot of what you're doing today. That is the reality. It's not going to take over. And as one thing becomes a commodity, something else becomes a premium. The data, the algorithms, all those are going to become commoditized. You're already seeing that right now. I mean, to be able to do natural language, you know, processing and being able to do a lot of things, it took coding. Now, there's pretty much an interface that you can talk to like you would anybody else, and it's giving you that same type of results. The same thing's happening for coding. So data, all those things become commoditized and become easier and easier. Even my mom can be able to do it, or my sister could do it. At the same time, something else is becoming more and more of a premium. Being able to prompts, ask why, have the right questions, being able to understand how you can innovate or put things together with new resources that we have available. All those things are becoming premiums. Something else is becoming a premium now as well, and that's storytelling. Being able to tell a story with the information that AI is providing so that others can understand what it's doing and how it's doing things as well. That is becoming a premium as well. So if you're looking at your job of the future, it may not be coding. It may not be crunching through numbers on an Excel spreadsheet to generate a forecast. It may not be optimizing inventory and carrying on a fire hose with supply chain management. That may not be your job in the future. But your job and your roles aren't going away. What you need to start being able to adapt to is figuring out what questions, why you're doing things, continuing to be innovative, continuing to ask why, continuing to really push beyond the boundaries of just a output. Don't become mediocrity because a system is doing your job for you. Because if you allow your system to do your job for you and you're not adding value above and beyond that, then when someone asks, is AI going to take over your job? The answer will be absolutely yes. Well, that's a wrap for me. I'm going to go play nice with the AI bots so they'll remember me when they're going to take over the world. My name is Eric Wilson. You can find me at eric@ibf.org. That's eric@ibf.org. Thank Arkiva, driving business transformation by solving what others cannot. And as I said, check it out. They got a brand new product that just came out for smaller companies. A lot of the functionality of the legacy system, but a very, very affordable price. An end-to-end type of product you can do demand, inventory, supply, everything with for your business as well. Integrates with NetSuite and other types of ERP. So check that out, Arkiva as well. I want to thank IBF. We got a lot going on in this summer, so please check us out. We've had a whole half a year worth of conferences. We got another half coming up. And beyond that, there's a lot of content as well. One of the things I will recommend to you is membership. If you already haven't checked out IBF for membership, please check it out. We are a tribe here. We're going through this together with the AI, with the, all the other things happening to us. You want to stay ahead of things and understand what's next. You want to hear from other practitioners besides me telling what they're doing. We got the Journal of Business Forecast. We got conferences. We got webinars, town halls, blogs. There's a lot of great information that's being shared on that platform for members. So check it out, ibf.org. Membership doesn't cost that much, but the benefits are more than, it's priceless at this point. So check that out, ibf.org. So with that, remember one thing that we still have not automated quite yet. Don't forget, wash your hands. And that's a wrap.